So we're trying to get the insurance companies to give us the information that we can pass on to our employees in order to keep our costs lower?
Not necessarily information from the insurance company to pass on. Information to help you make decisions about where to spend resources to better educate your workforce on how to make better decisions.
When you say make better decisions, can you give me an example of what you're talking about?
We see prevalence of emergency room use. Non-emergency emergency room use is an escalator in healthcare costs. Someone who decides they don't have a primary care physician, so they use the emergency room as their PCP, we need to educate those people or design a plan that forces them to get a primary care physician. Those are the types of things that you need to look at in your claims data to determine where the problems are and how to attack them, to fix them, to move the needle on the 94%.
I understand that, and perhaps because I follow what you're suggesting that a person does, I don't know what the non-compliance with those two things are. Like, what is the percentage citywide of people that don't have PCPs or that use the emergency room as their first stop for healthcare?
Right. I don't have that information either. You need to do a deep dive into the claims to understand that.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman. So, in the outside world, that's why we have what's called safety groups for workers' comp insurance. That's why we have healthcare groups for healthcare insurance to encourage its members. I'm talking about the self-funded group.
Right.
To encourage its members to be safer on the job site and lower those comp premiums, and in the healthcare world, to be healthier.
Right.
And the problem oftentimes is the rescue is used for one's own personal physician, or the emergency room is for one's personal physician. And that's not what it's designed for. And that's why there's groups that have those type of things.
That's right.
In order to save money for its users.
And one other item, if you don't mind,
go right ahead.
One of the other areas beyond looking at the claims is also looking at the benefit levels, the benefit plan design that are governed by the collective bargaining agreements. And I think Councilman Carley had raised the question earlier about the drug spend for the city versus the school department. And the city has a benefit that has a cap on how much the employee can pay out of pocket, which is relatively not seen today any longer.
It's the maximum paid is relatively small.
Right. $300 per single and $600 per family out of pocket max for the cost of prescription drugs. I did an analysis for the city council based on questions from the public that said just eliminating that one benefit is worth over $250,000 in savings in claim spend. So, or cost of the program. There's a lot of things that you can address that are far more strategic than the 6% on the admin side that we keep talking about. And that's, I hate to beat that drum, but I'm trying to direct you guys in the areas where you can gain the most.
Mr. Khaleesi, I asked about that admin fee, because back in the day when I chaired a healthcare committee with a $12 to $15 million premium, self-funded, I dealt with these companies all the time. And that was one of the places where we would constantly do battle, because that was where the money was.
Right.
It was in the admin fees.
Yes.
It wasn't in your, whether you use the rescue or use the emergency room or you have a cold or you have to have a major surgery. It was in the admin fees. And that's why I asked that question. And having gotten the answer to that question of less than 6%, I will say that that number is substantially less than what I used to deal with years ago. And that was a kicking and screaming fight outright every year.
Yep.
Any other questions from the council? Councilman Cawley.
Mr. Cleese, the prescription cap coverage you just talked about, is Warwick an outlier among the 39 cities and towns that provides health care and providing prescription cap coverage?
Yeah, I mean, as I look at benefit comparisons amongst communities, that is a benefit that kind of pops off the page. It's not seen in, I don't think, any other community in the state.
And you said it would be at least $250,000 in savings if we did not have that benefit?
Correct.
Is that a conservative or accurate?
That was a conservative estimate.
Thank you.
Sure.
Rob, repeat that one more time. The
Sure.
I'm not going to compete. Just hold on.
Yep.
So, the cap that we have on the city side, tell me what your response was to Councilman Cawley again. Tell us.
Sure. The cap is $300 per employee per year. That's the maximum out-of-pocket cost for prescription drugs for the 12-month policy year. So as soon as a member reaches 300 or a family reaches 600, the drugs are then covered at 100%. So you don't pay anything for the drugs at that point. If you were to remove the cap and have cost sharing, like 99% of the other plans out there have cost sharing every time you fill a script, that savings is approximately $250,000.
So using your percentage, are you saying that 99% of the other health care plans in the state do not have this type of cap that we have?
It doesn't exist in the commercial side of the business. I have only seen it on the governmental side. And with the communities I deal with, Warwick is the only
side,
one.
It doesn't exist.
Correct.
That is for sure. Any other questions for Mr. Calisi? Councilman Howell.
A clarification. You said the savings would be $50,000. Is that per?
$250,000.
Thank you.
$250,000. Any other questions for Mr. Calisi at the moment? Okay, Rob, just kind of make yourself available. So I would, at this time, like anyone from the trust to come to the mic. Is anyone here from the trust? Good evening, sir. State your name for the record, please.
Brian LaValle.
Brian?
Brian LaValle.
O'Valley?
LaValle.
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 Spell it.
LaValle.
Thank you, Mr. LaValle.
You're welcome.
So, go ahead. You have the floor. You have the mic. And I would like you to explain to the committee, the council, and members of the public the proposal that has been submitted from the trust and how you compare it to WD, your advantages, WB, I'm sorry, your advantages, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I guess one thing I keep hearing about is there's a significant concern, apparently, regarding liquidated damages and the fact that a contract with the trust includes liquidated damages if you are to terminate in less than the first 36 months. So if you termed within the first two renewal periods, there would be liquidated damages provision that would kick in if you wanted to leave the pool, and there would be a one-month premium penalty, which I think has already been determined and discussed at length. I just want to clarify why that is the case, and it may matter, it may not, but I just thought it would be, it's important to clarify. So if a new member were to come into the trust program and have a bad year and incur a deficit, let's say you ran at 110% in the first year, loss ratio, claims versus claims and expenses versus premiums you paid in. If you wanted to terminate, you would not have to pay or you would not have to pay back any of that deficit at all. The pool would basically incur that deficit because you were part of the pool at the time. In addition to that, anytime you terminate a contract with the trust as of June 30 in a particular year, you would not have any liability for claims runout payments going forward.
Excuse me, Mr. LaValle, excuse me. So you just said that if we were, whomever, was to terminate the plan at the end of the year, if we had any losses, that wouldn't impact us, but it impacts whoever is remaining in the plan. Is that correct?
Yes, if okay. you were to leave, you do not have to make up a deficit that you actually incurred while you were in the program, like
so
you do.
So if we experienced a 14% loss in our health care, and we decided to leave, 14% loss is a $2.8 million loss for us.
Correct.
Roughly. Mm-hmm. That means that $2.8 million is going to be spread out amongst whoever else is in the pool.
It's going to be a hit to the pool, entire pool
and
member
equity.
If we
were still in the pool and that happened with someone else, that $2.8 million is going to be shared by us as well. Correct? Do I
correct.
Get that right?
Correct. Correct.
I just want to make sure I have
yep.
that clear.
No, okay. Absolutely correct.
Okay.
Absolutely correct. And so that explanation, I believe, is the real reason why there is liquidated damages in the trust contract, and there wouldn't be liquidated damages. The WB wouldn't need liquidated damages, because if you were in the WB and you had a deficit and you wanted to leave, you would have to pay back that entire deficit, and you would have to pay all of your claims runout as of the end of the year, whatever your actual runout is. So it stands to reason, from my perspective, in that type of an arrangement, you don't need liquidated damages because you become...
Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot hear what this speaker is saying. He deserves the same respect as everyone else. Please allow him. Excuse me. We're going to be here until 12 o'clock. And right now, we are discussing health care, and we're going to continue to discuss it until the discussion is completed. So we'll just wait. Continue, sir. Thank
so,
you, everyone.
So, regarding the liquidated damages, I just wanted to point out that if you're the WB, you don't need liquidated damages because the WB and the pool does not get impacted at all, as everyone has explained. You have your own account surpluses and deficits and so forth. So, if you were to leave that pool and you incurred a deficit, you have to make up the deficit. So there really would not be a need for damages because nobody's being damaged. So the other point I think is important is I know a couple of folks earlier have mentioned that it's very difficult and I guess essentially nearly impossible to predict. We won't be able to do it. The WB won't be able to do it. Predict what the next year is going to look like, year two, year three. I don't think anybody in the room is going to be able to do that and hit the nail right on the head. Having said that, I think it is important. One of the councilmen asked earlier a question about what the rate increases or adjustments have been under the WB the last few years since you moved back to the WB. And somebody also mentioned that you were recently with the trust. FY13 was the RFP that the trust was determined to be the lowest bidder. And at that time, FY13, the City of Warwick moved from the WB over to the Trust, and you actually renewed with the Trust for four renewals after FY13. The rate adjustments for those four renewals are as follows. FY14 was a 1% rate increase, 1.0. FY15, 2.1% rate decrease.
I'm sorry, what year?
FY15 was a 2.1% rate decrease. City of Warwick.
Okay, so 15 was a 1% increase?
14 was a 1% increase. 15 was a 2.1% rate decrease. 16, FY16, 2.7% rate increase. And FY17, 0.7% rate increase. So not only was the cumulative rate adjustment over four renewals 2.3% over four renewals, the first two renewals were subject to liquidated damages, as everybody is fully aware of. Because we have the same contract now that we had back in FY13. There were damages in place then if you termed within the first 2 years. So based on the fact that there's a big concern that the trust is going to come out and whack you next year, could that happen? I suppose it could. But when you join the pool in FY13, the first two renewals were both subject to liquidated damages. We effectively could have...
We have to stick to the agenda. Continue.
So I just wanted to point out that those first 2 year renewals, if the city wanted to leave, you would have had to pay liquidated damages, and the trust provided you with renewals for those first 2 years, a 1% rate increase and a 2.1% rate decrease. So in fact, in the first 24 months at that time, your actual health insurance liability went down over that first 24-month period. Now, of course, as I started saying, that really doesn't have a direct bearing on what your year two is going to look like next year or year three. But what I believe it does is I believe that it shows that when there was opportunity to lowball in FY13, if that's in fact what we did to get the bid, I'm not sure that you were struggling a lot regarding signing off on a 1% rate increase the following year and a 2.1% rate decrease the year after that. That's all I was looking to share.
So the question that I had asked Mr. Khaleesi was, did he consult with the trust to ask you if you would either put a cap on our rates or agree to a year-to-year contract with the city as WB has, or potentially other vendors? And what he has conveyed to us is that the response was no. Is that's the answer, and I'm curious as to why.
Unfortunately, that is correct. Our standard agreement includes liquidated damages. We do not have the ability, because we're member-owned by all of our members, we don't have the ability to make exceptions with our standard agreement from a member-to-member perspective. The only way that we would potentially have the ability to even entertain that is if we felt internally that it was something that we should look at significantly, changes to our membership participation agreement. We'd have to submit that through our Employee Benefits Committee and our Board of Trustees for approval if we determined that that was something that we really wanted to make sure that we looked at. But again, I think when I kind of opened up as far as why there is liquidated damages, I wouldn't expect that the liquidated damages provision in our contract is going to go away anytime soon, unfortunately. As I mentioned, it needs to be there. If a group comes in and has a pretty bad year, that protection's there, because if they leave, the pool's stuck with paying the claims run out, and you don't have to make up a deficit.
If we're in the pool,
correct,
we're just stuck with the deficit.
That's correct.
Or at least a share of the deficit.
Yes, if you have
being the largest, or certainly one of the largest members of that pool, we are going to receive the largest hit on the deficit. Is that correct?
So a deficit does not impact your rate adjustment, though. It just reduces the pool's member equity. It doesn't translate into an increase in the next year. The only way it would translate into monies owed is if the reserve level in the pool equity were to get to such a level where all members would be subject to monies owed, and that hasn't happened. There's no concern for that.
So if your performance is in the negative, that's going to impact our premiums in the following year, correct?
Who's your performance?
That's you.
Me,
the trust.
The pool?
The pool as a whole, or certain members in that pool have a significant loss of whatever, 15%, that is going to be shared by who's ever in the pool in the following year's premiums.
Not true? Every member is rated.
So what, do you write it off?
I'm sorry?
Do you write it off?
No, but as I mentioned, if the pool as a whole at the end of the year, we look at the overall pool financials, and if the pool has a loss, then the member equity is lowered somewhat. If the pool has a gain, then the pool-wide member equity is increased somewhat. That pool-level equity would be used for potential distributions if there happens to be a distribution in a given year.
Potential distribution, not guaranteed.
Correct. Okay. A member equity distribution.
Okay.
Correct.
So if someone is with you for a year and accumulates some member equity, when they leave, if they leave in the second year, or if they leave in the third year or the second year, does that member equity go with them or does it stay behind?
50%.
50%. So in addition to a one-month premium of $1.6 million, we face the possibility of a reduction of 50% of our member equity. Is that correct?
There is no member equity available within the first 36 months at all, actually.
So in the first 36 months, we don't even get to participate.
You earn equity, but you could earn equity, but you wouldn't be able to take it if you left within the first 36 months. But I will also say that if you incurred negative equity and you left, again, we've already gone through that. So it works both ways.
So the plus, you just said in the first 3 years we don't accumulate member equity. And then you kind of came back around again and said that if there was equity, we wouldn't get it. Tell me that the first 3 years. Tell me about the member equity.
Member equity is allocated to all members in the pool at the end of a given year, but based on our agreement, if you were to leave before the 36-month period, you're not eligible to take any member equity.
So I think that's what I said. I think I said, in addition to the penalty of $1.6 million, roughly, if we leave early, that we would also lose our share of member equity. I was perhaps saying it differently than what you said it, but at the end of the day, in 3 years, we would have accumulated member equity. And if we left in the second year or the third year, we would leave without the member equity, we would lose that member equity. Yes or no, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so in a self-insured plan, our member equity or a deficit is owned only by us. We don't share the good and we don't share the bad. At the end of our first year or our second or our third, if we have member equity, meaning dollars in versus dollars out is a plus, that stays with our members because that's used in the following year, should we renew, to positively impact our premiums. So in a self-funded plan, we don't have that risk of losing our member equity because of anything. Other than if we don't perform well, we don't have equity.
I believe that the WB agreement requires you being in that agreement for 60 months to walk away with 100% of your surplus balance.
I did not say walk away. I said if we have member equity, that equity would be reflected in the new premiums. Rob, please, to the mic.
Yes.
Is that an accurate statement, or?
My understanding is that member equity pool is performing and returning an investment. They invest that money. Investment funds are used to run the operations of the program and therefore are always going to be included in the rate-making process that are developed by any insurance company.
Mr. Lord, to the mic, please. So, the statement that I just made, with a self-funded plan, if we perform well and we have a good experience ratio at the end of our first year or our second year, we have what is referred to in the trust as member equity. What we're told is if we leave the trust, we lose 50% of that member equity. In the WB, again, speaking from experience in being the chair of a committee that ran that very type of thing, my understanding is if we have accumulated equity, our plan is $1 million, we spend $800,000, there's $200 left. $200 goes to reducing the premium or factored into the premium for the following year. Is that somewhat accurate?
Yes. In that particular case, I wouldn't recommend using all $200,000 because what you don't want to do is if that next year you have a bad year, you don't want to create a structural deficit.
That's not what I said.
Okay.
I presented a scenario saying that if we have a $200,000 equity in a self-funded plan that either remains with us as a positive, it can be used to reduce, it can be used to take offset of bad year if we have a bad year. But if we leave on the second year, what happens to the member equity?
You would get 100% of that back.
100%.
Right.
Thank you.
And that would be, you know, after any runout, but the runout is budgeted in what your claims exposure is in the current bid.
Correct. Duly noted.
Okay.
Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman Crawley.
I have a question for the trust. Concerning the pharmaceutical coverages. I learned about discounts and rebates. What's the difference between a pharmaceutical discount and a rebate from the manufacturer?
The discount's the amount that the discount is the amount of the reduction in the claim. And the rebate, as Mr. Khaleesi had expressed earlier, is every time there is a utilization for a brand prescription drug, the pharmaceutical company pays the pharmacy benefits manager a drug rebate, which gets passed along to the health insurance company, et cetera.
And does that get passed back to the city as a participant, or is it spread out over the entire pool? How is that handled?
That would be, from my perspective, one of the big reasons why the rate proposal came in where the rate proposal came in. Included in our fully insured rate is what we project the overall rebates to be for the coming year for the entire pool. So all participating members that would be in the pool for that particular year, would their rate calculation would include the same rebate credit.
And in the materials I have, it says that one of the things about the trust that's different is you use CVS healthcare rather than Blue Cross Blue Shield. And that there is a $90 PEPM. Can you tell me what PEPM stands for?
Per employee per month.
Okay. That the trust has an estimated rebate of $90 PEPM with $65 for the utilization of the WBCH. So the rebate, is that to the, would that benefit the city of Warwick, or does it benefit all of the people that are in the trust and is spread out evenly?
All members for 1920 have that same PEPM built into their rating calculation because that's the overall projection.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Sir, the lady's behind you. Any questions? Go ahead, ma'am.
I do. So Bridget Allman again, and I also, I emailed every single council member last week. And I do have, so I have over 25 years of financial experience, and I know that not one person on this council is a healthcare specialist. I myself did not concentrate in healthcare administration, but the city has paid for a consultant because of his expertise. So I would caution, because I know several years ago, 4 years ago, the healthcare consultant, I believe it was Mr. Khaleesi, recommended the WB, the self-insurance model. And I believe the council voted, and it was lost by one vote to go with the trust. And at the time, I think, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong here, that it was at a $500,000 higher cost to go with the trust at that year. And then the following year, there was a switch. They listened, you listened to what the consultant said, and you went with the WB model. And I have, I have strong reservations in this, what the city's recommendation that came in at the last minute to go with the trust model, to go with a fully insured model, when it hasn't been recommended to the cities of Pawtucket, Lincoln. There's very large cities that are going with self-insured models because that money is yours. You're able to control those costs. You're able to smooth. You're able to balance the budget over longer periods of time and not just look at 12-month increments. So I just have a lot of concerns about why would the city every single year or every 2 years go out to bid and every year you pay a consultant and every year that consultant comes in with a recommendation. And again, you're paying a consultant that has expertise in this matter. So I don't understand why we're arguing back and forth. I mean, if you didn't trust the consultant, then why would you go out and pay him?
Thank you. Sir.
Good evening, Mark Randall. I just ask that you stop asking the same questions, repeating yourself over and over. I also ask that you stop with all the backstories, and I also ask that you stop asking questions you already know the answers to, because you're answering the questions and saying correct. You know you're correct. We know you're correct, so please just stop talking for the sake of talking and make it poignant. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments from members of the public? Any other questions? Please.
So my name's Samantha De Silva, and I'm
please just speak into the mic, please.
Sure. I'm Samantha De Silva, and I'm a Pilgrim graduate, and my brother is currently also attending Pilgrim, and he's on the boys' soccer team. And I just wanted to let you guys know, like, to sink in just exactly what you're doing if you cut the sports out. I know I have to stay on topic, but you would be cutting their futures and their livelihoods because you take away their opportunity of getting scholarships and continuing their education. So please look at the bigger picture and ask yourselves if you can truly be okay with cutting down their future, because that's what we are. We are the future. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? Any other comments from members of the public? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to look for a recommendation to move this to the floor, favorable for discussion.
Move favorable to the floor for discussion.
Seconded.
We have a motion to move favorable to the floor for discussion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 8419, formerly 2019-279, Fire Department, dress uniforms, badges, etc. Chief?
Jason Umenhauer, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department. Fire Department is recommending bid 2019-279, Fire Department dress uniforms, be awarded to Stillman Uniform of Westerly, Rhode Island. Award will be for 2 years, from 7-1 of 19 through 6-30 of 2021. Total award of $15,000. We estimate about $10,000 from FY20 and about $5,000 FY21. These funds will come from budget code 35260, clothing. The current bid expired on May 2nd, 2019.
And Chief, we held this. So give us the reasons why we held it and what's changed.
I believe you held it so you could review a previous bid, the previous expired bid.
Okay, and you had sent that to us?
I emailed you back the next day and asking you for details, and then I emailed you the full packet recently.
Okay, any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
We have the last item on the agenda, PCR 8119, resolution requesting the school committee reinstate summer school back in the 2019-2020 budget. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, Mr. President, I move this favorable action for discussion. Basically, as you know, this was put in the docket last month before the school committee came to us and was requesting the summer school be put back in. On Friday, you know that they did say they were going to put summer school back in for the seniors only. But at least something come out of that I felt. But I was still upset during that budget hearing, saying that I didn't think it was fair for the 9th, 10th, and 11th graders, that it was only a matter of $45,000, and that this was the last chance these kids probably had a chance to bring up their grades. What the public does not know, maybe, and I'm sure, I thought maybe Council President would have mentioned, and please listen to me what I have to say first. The school committee comes to us with a budget, one number. We cannot tell them what to do with that number, with that money. I can't say, and I would love to say, give it all to so much to the sports, so much to music, so much to arts. We can't say that. They give us one number. We can give them more. If we give them less, we'll be in trouble. If we give them the same amount, they say we level fund them. Even if we give them more, they tell us they level fund them. But let me tell you the sad point. Every year they come and they say, we're going to cut sports, we're going to cut music, we're going to cut arts. They already cut ALAP. They even threatened to cut science. The sad part is they're using you kids as pawns. You got to stop and think. The way we can't tell them what to do with the money, we can't cut it either. We do not make the cuts. They make the cuts. And four of them are sitting here tonight, and they're listening, and they know, oh yeah, they're not happy because we didn't give them $7.7 million. We couldn't. All your parents would be moving. I would move.
I can't afford it. I got two grandchildren in school. The sad part is they always threaten. We can't get, you don't do this, we're going to do that. You don't do that, we're going to do this. We try really hard to fund the schools. You were complaining about the cleaning stuff. That's for the city. Ask them where is the money for their cleaning of the schools. What do they do with the money? Why aren't they taking care of you? Because the money, when we get that number, and I always said, if I'm going to sign the check, I want to know where that money's going. But they, I can give them $2 million more tomorrow. And you know what? They'll do what they want to do with it. They might say they're going to give it to sports. We know better. We've been here long enough. That's how they operate. And that's sad. I try really hard to save the school, the summer school. And if I save the seniors, thank God for that, because that was $20,000. That's going to affect their grades. But it's going to affect all the other kids that needed summer school too. Now, I'm not in a position to tell them to do that, but I was so mad that in the third quarter, at the end of the year almost, they decided to pull summer school. Now, if they said they were pulling summer school for next year, okay, we're all prepared. But they didn't. They pulled it now. So that way you kids, whoever did fail some one subject or another, can't go to summer school. And that's what's sad. Not that I'm picking summer school over sports or I'm picking music over the... That's not the case. And it really hurts me to know that they can rally everybody and make them think that we're the bad guys. But we're not the bad guys when we give that lump sum of money. They just don't know how to spend it. And when you get the Councilman Sinopi's legislation about the finance director who's putting money where he's not supposed to, then maybe you'll understand a little better. But I'm sorry, and I hope to God they don't cut sports, because I enjoy all the sports in the schools, and I've been involved with the Volunteers of Warwick Schools and the schools from way back, many years, and I've always supported them. And to sit here and to know that everybody thinks we're the bad guys all the time, when they're sitting right there and they know where their cuts came from. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Travis. And I might add, that was well said. Any other comments? Councilman Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to say this now. First of all, what you're doing is right. You're standing up for what you believe in, and you're doing it in the right way. You're coming to the hall of the people. But now let me introduce myself. First of all, I'm a teacher. My two kids graduated from Warwick Veterans before it was decided to consolidate and close. My children graduated from Lippitt, and my children graduated from Gorton, which is now an administrative building. Okay? That's, I believe, nine buildings in this city that were closed and consolidated, over 200 people laid off. And yet they still come to us saying, we're $8 million in the hole, you've got to bail us out every single year. We vote on a budget that is presented to us, as the Honorable Councilwoman said. And I want to make clear to you, the reason why I say I'm a teacher is because as a teacher in the classroom, I'm going to tell you where all the waste happens, at the top. By the time it trickles down to the classroom, yes, your teachers do have to buy cleaning supplies. I buy my students cleaning supplies. Yes, I do have to buy sanitizer. I buy my students sanitizer. So it was very hard for me to bite my lip while I heard people talk, and I was so frustrated that I see the school committee come in here after a Facebook post, knowing how government works. Here's how government works, and I'm saying this as an educator, not as a council person. We have an agenda, as was mentioned by the chairman. We have to follow it. We can't just say, you know what, stop, let's introduce the people and go before the body. We have to follow the agenda because you as the public have a right to know what we're going to talk about. They know this. They know how the budget works. They left that out. They also know that there was an audit done, which we'll speak about in governmental, where the money was provided. The money is there. They left that out. So I'm very angry and very offended by what they did today. And finally, I'm going to give you the other thing. As a disabled veteran who goes to the Veterans Administration, if we learned one thing from that administration, you don't get anywhere by throwing more money at it. You need to cut the costs and you need to figure out how to do it right. They haven't figured that out. So now they need to go somehow figure it out and figure out how to save your sports, save the summer school, and save what is left of the Warwick School Department without keep saying, everyone else is to blame, they're not giving us the money. Because we can throw all the money we want at them, it's not going to mean you're getting your sports back. Because it certainly didn't open the schools, it certainly didn't rehire your teachers, and it certainly didn't make you have to go to leave Tollgate to go back to Warwick Vets. So I commend you. You're doing the right thing. But we have an agenda we have to follow, and that's what I was saying earlier, and I hope you understand that, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman Qualley. You've been on that mic a lot tonight, Councilman Qualley. Go ahead.
On the issue of the summer school, this seems to me to be totally counterproductive to the entire goal of our education system. If a student fails a class and if they're held back because they cannot go to summer school and have to repeat that same class, that ends up costing a lot more money. But more importantly, what it does to the student, it destroys their esteem. It destroys their drive. They may become a dropout because of that. And the dropouts pipeline to the criminal justice system is a direct connection. I think that it is deplorable that the school department would decide that they are not going to give students the opportunity to get their grades up to move to the next level, because it will just lead to more problems for that individual student and more problems for us as a city. I cannot understand at all. Well, I understand the emotional value of saying you're going to cut sports. I went to Warwick Schools. I went to Warwick Vets. We happened to have success when I played football at Warwick Vets. And when it was over, I know that my self-esteem had went up. I know it's a life lesson that I learned, and I know that I grew a lot, and I'm a better person because of having participated in those games. It changes you. It changes you in a positive way. And to somehow use that as some sort of negotiating tactic, I think, is not fair to the student, not fair to the city, and not a good way to run a school department.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other comments from members of the council? Yes, please.
My name is Madison Clark, and I am a varsity athlete at Tollgate High School. I am only a freshman, but I still have the next 3 years to think about and would like to speak on this topic. We are student athletes. Student comes first, not athletes. We, as a whole, have to keep our grades up to compete in games or practices. On the topic of summer school, most of summer school children are not student athletes because we know we have to keep our grades up. To the four people who are thinking about cutting our sports programs, the sports are made up mostly of honors kids and AP kids. We work. The students that start on varsity, I have played varsity for all three sports that I'm a part of, and that is because as an honors student, I make sure to keep my grades above A's and above average so I can pass and be able to play in every single game. Your summer school kids are most likely not playing spring sports. Your cumulative grade is what determines if you play sports. Every student here that wants to play sports is not in here because our grades are bad. We are here because our grades are fantastic, or they are above average, because we want to play sports. No student is allowed on a team if they are failing two classes. That goes for everyone at Pilgrim and Tollgate. are, you cutting sports is going to put more kids in summer school, which is going to cost more money. Student athletes are not in summer school because we pass to be able to play our sports. You cutting sports, as the four of you that are thinking about it, are making a big mistake, because when us as student athletes don't have to do sports, what are we going to focus on? That's what we do schoolwork to play in these sports. We do school to complete it, to possibly get scholarships and go to college. We are not all rich and we cannot all pay for college. And summer school is not getting us anywhere if we're not already passing. If you take away sports, you take away our opportunities. And that's true. Most of the kids want to go to CCRI because they don't have the money to get into URI or to get into RIC. And that is sad, because I know so many people who have gotten into these colleges based off of sports because our grades are good. On the varsity lacrosse team, four girls, we made it to state championships this year. That was done, and most of our girls were AP classes. They were not failing. Not a single person on these sports teams is failing because they are not allowed to be there. If you cut sports, once again, you cut our opportunities and you cut us from being great students. Hello, my name is...
I'm so sorry. I just wanted... the young lady who just spoke, I'm so sorry. You made a few comments where you said, yeah, back to, if you don't mind, please, thank you. By the way, very well spoken, thank you. And secondly, you keep saying you four people, and I'm questioning, who are you directing that to, please?
You said that there were four people that were deciding on the cutting.
Okay, so if I may, I'm just going to say this. We as a council voted on a budget that we give to the school committee. The school committee then determines how it's divvied up. So if sports are cut, it's cut from the school committee.
Right.
We've given them the budget, so it's out of our hands. The only thing we can say, as the chairman said, the only thing we can do is hand the amount of money, hand the money to them, and then they determine where it goes from then. Okay, thank you. I just wanted the clarification.
I absolutely understand that. And
thank you. Thank
yes,
you.
I agree.
Excuse me, you can have an opportunity to speak when you come to the mic. Thank you.
I completely understand that, and
thank
I was
you.
Not talking directly to the council,
oh, okay.
But those four people who are making this decision to cut sports, this budgeting
yeah.
for summer school and all of that sports is what they're deciding to cut,
yes.
And I feel like there should be more being done, absolutely, to not cut, because summer school is a big problem in Warwick, and it happens a lot. Students should not be going to summer school. Classes, I personally am an honor student, and classes are fairly easy for me to pass. This does not go for everybody, and summer school teachers and budgeting should be more thought out carefully, and our sports should not be, we should not have come to this point where sports are looked at to be cut, and that's the real issue, is that we have lost budgeting mentality and need to cut our academics and sports.
Thank you. Very well said, and I thank you for the clarification. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please, just identify yourself for the record.
Hello, my name is Haley Clark. I am a junior at Tollgate High School. I have been going to there for 3 years, and I will be a senior next year. I am on the soccer team. I'm hoping to maybe get a scholarship next year. If these clubs and sports are cut, I lose a chance at a scholarship, which could help me get into a better college. And I have worked hard, and it's unfair for us to have to work hard and then lose things. And I understand that there is a budget, but I have gone to school for 3 years, and there's never been talk of cutting sports or clubs before this year, because we've been well budgeted. And I also know that summer school, we had heard rumors that it was going to be cut last year. We had known that there was probably not going to be summer school this year before last year even ended. So on the topic of that, we knew that it was coming, and we figured that we had to work harder to get our grades up and keep our grades going, because if you want to be on a team, you have to keep your grades up. And those people who typically go to summer school are people who don't care enough to keep working on their stuff, and they just don't care. If you fail for one quarter, you can still get your cum grade up enough to pass your classes. You have enough potential to pass for the entire year, even if you fail for one quarter. And if you fail for two quarters, you can't even play a sports team. So those people who fail their classes over and over again aren't here for the sports. They may want the summer school, but that's because they're not trying to achieve anything, and they just don't care enough to actually work hard enough to pass their classes. And they need to, and that's the reason they have summer school is because those kids don't care. And because they have summer school to fall back on, they don't try when it actually comes to school. And that's not fair to the rest of the students who are trying to get an education and trying to learn and trying to play sports and do clubs. And that's not fair for everyone there. And so the fact that we have summer school to fall back on, and I know that the seniors had it this year, and even then, the seniors fall back on that because half the seniors in our school, they don't show up. They don't care enough to come to class, and they just think that they can pass because of that. And giving them summer school because they don't show up and don't come to class is not fair to the rest of us who are trying to get an education and learn and want to do well in our classes and go further in life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nathan Cornell, member of the Warwick School Committee. To start with, this display of what happened earlier with this delaying tactic is, I will say, one of the most undemocratic things I've ever seen in my entire life. To stall in an effort to try to disperse the crowd, that is absolutely disgraceful. And I'm just surprised that you did that. The next thing is, I find it ironic that this resolution is coming before the City Council asking the school committee to restore summer school when you fully know by denying the $7.7 million increase, therefore, that cannot happen. The school committee, in the last few weeks, in an effort with the budget that we came to you, we made an adjustment so that we can actually restore senior summer school. But because you didn't give us the $7.7 million, we can't just have summer school for seniors. We can have summer school in general and many other things, including sports. The next thing is in regards to a tax increase. You're having a very big tax increase, but none of that extra money is going to schools. And I just don't know how you're going to justify that to the public. And also, a lot of the things you're mentioning, going after school committee for certain things I've heard for years. But one thing that you didn't talk about was how this current school committee, this new school committee that entered office this year, including myself, we and also other members have voted for things to make sure that we're more fiscally accountable. This is the first time I've ever seen that the school committee went through line by line through the budget. And we already had to make over $1 million in cuts to balance the superintendent's budget. We were at the school committee meeting till 12 o'clock at midnight. But we were there and we made those cuts so we can be fiscally accountable. So that $7.7 million is money that we need. And to deny that will seriously hurt the students. So please, think of what you're doing. This cannot continue. And please, I think you should all publicly apologize to students for just letting them stay here and just delaying them. That's absolutely appalling.
Thank you.